St. Patrick's Day. We welcome you all here to our meeting today. So we'll call to order the Rogers Water Works Sewer Commission meeting for March. The first item on our agenda, it would be the action on our minutes from the February 24th meeting. There were actually a set that went out with the original packet. Those had been updated. There was an email that went out today, and those are the minutes that you should have before you. There had been, there were some things that I think were dates from our last meeting. So the updated minutes are before you from February the 24th.
I make a motion to approve the corrected minutes.
Second.
We have a motion by Travis, a second by Kathy. Any further discussion? All in favor of the motion, say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carries to approve the minutes from the February 24th meeting. Okay, we'll move into reports. The first item is an update of FEMA fund reimbursement for the Memorial Day 2024 tornado damage.
Welcome.
Good afternoon, Commissioner. My name is David Ingram.
Hi, David.
I'm the City Works Coordinator and Technical Operations Supervisor here at Rogers Water Utilities. And the purpose of this presentation is to inform this body of our actions with FEMA and how our asset management program contributed to completing these projects. So, the presentation is informing of the relief that we sought after the tornado. And this will also showcase how we use our asset management program to contribute to that. But before proceeding, I'd like to take a glimpse of the picture here presented before you. This was one of many challenges that we faced that day. This is a tree, and you can see this tree was originally, and still is in this picture, resting on that person's house. We had to have the homeowner cut the tree prior to us repairing this water distribution main break. Right, so we weren't liable, and these issues were throughout the city. Two blocks to the west, we had Sean McGarty, which is the warehouse supervisor, replacing 20 feet of ductile iron pipe underground, needing to burrow through tree roots. Two blocks to my east, we had Travis Tripodi working with Tristan James, replacing a water main, performing an emergency repair because they couldn't repair it to its prior state because of, you know, this tree being so in the way. So we faced many difficulties that day. And, you know, many challenges, but under, you know, this body and this leadership, we were able to face those challenges and to overcome and move forward and get this community back in service. Our first action was to establish a project within our asset management program, CityWorks. So what we were able to do within this program is to be able to create a project. With that project, we now gave the users the ability of selecting it when a work order was related to, you know, this tornado disaster. Beyond that, we ended up adding our vehicles. So FEMA has a specific catalog sheet, and in that catalog sheet, they say this vehicle, which is a half ton pickup, is worth this value per hour of use, right? We wanted our employees to, when they put the input into this asset management program, they're picking the relevant vehicle for the activity at the exact price point that FEMA was going to pay us for. So we also referenced the number there. It's kind of grayed out, but there's a FEMA number. So we're specifically referencing to the FEMA number that's in relation with the vehicle listed in their catalog. So in our work order activities, we get employees to select this vehicle type. That's the type they use within the activity. So we were capturing that exact dollar amount. With this, we had our employees create a work order. You know, this broke because of the tornado. If that was the case, they would select the tornado was you know, the project type. They would select all their vehicles and they would complete their work order after stating their time, stating their maintenance, like materials that they use, and their equipment is with that, it creates a price point. With that price point, we were able to use our asset management program to query out that information saying, I want to see water distribution, and within water distribution, I want to see everything that's of this tornado, of this type, so we could put that in a spreadsheet specifically for FEMA. Completed FEMA projects. So we have one here that's management costs. Management costs include all the meetings that quite a few of us had to attend and the endless spreadsheets that I had to create. We have one here for utilities, water distribution. So these are all the permanent water main repairs that we made on our infrastructure. Sewer collection, same. Rogers sewer collection was the sewer collection. We had a few hydrants that were struck by trees. We've repaired those, and this is captured in this project. We had a retention pond get overflowed with sewage, and we repaired that retention pond, and that's captured in that project. And then we have here emergency protective measures. So this is for water and sewer, and this project captured the temporary repairs that we made, right? For instance, Travis was on a water break. They put it back to the best of their ability at the time, because of a tree, a massive tree being fell in the backyard. We had to go back to that water distribution main and we had to make a repair in the aftermath. That being the case, we have one project or one work order that was for the premature repair and then one for the concluding. And then we had debris removal. So they also wanted it categorized where we ended up separating our work orders, like one work order in three ways almost, where we did like landscaping and then we did the one for the tree removal, and they wanted things categorized in their neat, tidy way that they prefer. So we separated them. And with an outcome, we ended up coming up with a total of all the projects to 182, 265 as a received goal from our FEMA project. And it helped us, you know, contribute to our financial loss because of the tornado. Beyond that, I would like to showcase like the efforts from this organization, how I saw it. And what I saw is I saw a bunch of employees step up to the plate, take ownership, and charge in, even if they had tornado disaster themselves. Travis had issues at home that he had to deal with, but even though he had his own issues to deal with, civic-minded people within this organization stepped up, even if they weren't a part of the department, to contribute to getting this infrastructure back in place and contributing to this community. So, to me, it was a nice opportunity, even though with this devastation, it allowed us to be able to show our true color and, you know, help this community. That's it for me. Any questions?
Thank you. Nice work.
As I was sitting here, David, just you think about everything that was happening, and we just kind of touched a little bit up here. You know, putting this in place, I mean, these are things that usually happen after the fact. You all were trying to, you know, when you think, okay, this is a job that's got to be done right now. I can't wait for some work order. I mean, it's almost in real time that you all were reacting, but also the presence of mind to realize that, you know, the cost, it's kind of the business side of it, but it was also the social side of it, is we got to replace, I mean, that water's, you know, there's damage now that has to be done. So I just applaud, and I know that RWU was recognized, and a lot of our community people were recognized at the chamber event last week. And it goes to what you're saying is, it wasn't a matter of whose job was it. It's got to be done. We're going to take care of it. We'll come back on some of the details later. But just to have the presence of mind to say, okay, we've got to, in CityWorks, we've got to create, this is how we've got to track it. Yeah. I just applaud you. My mind's going, how did you know that you got to get all of this done, you got to do it in order to meet FEMA to get the 182,000. It's just, there's so much that was happening. So I compliment you and Brent, all of your people. Mm-hmm. Well, but it's a team. It was a team effort. And as you saw at the chamber banquet last week, when you lined all the people in our community that got up front that were recognized, you know, it just says a lot about Rogers and how, you know, it's not about who gets credit, it's about who gets the job done. So I just wanted to say thank you so much, and thank you for sharing this with us.
Have you guys thought about presenting this at the CityWorks conference?
No. I think you should.
Well, I can just tell you, and I think as you pointed out, is
much more we can.
Yeah. Well, John, each one of us, I mean, we were all kind of in our silos, we were all dealing with our own issues, whether it be at your personal residence, at your mother's house or your father's. I mean, we were all trying to deal with that at the same time. You all had issues at your own homes,
yeah.
But you were putting other people's homes before your own. And I'm just telling you, that's powerful. So I just wanted, you know, I mean, I was just trying to figure out how to get out of the driveway that day to, you know, try to move and, you know, get to.
I showed up at my house at 8 a.m. with a tractor.
Travis.
Buried out or my house, he got me out. And then we ended up getting my neighbors out. And after that, we went to work. You know, and there were other people that were impacted too. Dustin Rogers, he had his house damaged quite severely. There's other people that had issues at home. But when we sign up at Rogers Water Utility, we sign a civic service duty to this community. And we applaud that. We applaud our individuals that stand up when times are tough to contribute back to this community.
Thank you for your leadership. Brent, thank you. Yep. And just let everybody know, I mean, we've said this before in this meeting, and a lot of people take it for granted. It's to turn the water on and it happens. So thank you all so much. Okay. Anything else?
We have
good?
Brand new language.
Yeah. And have we gotten paid and have been reimbursed?
Yeah.
So when you have a level of detail, it's kind of hard to dispute when you're down to even figure out, okay, which truck you used.
Oftentimes
you do it and didn't cut, well, you don't have the documentation, so.
They kept complimenting.
That's awesome.
They did, and there were other folks too.
Good work, man.
How well that was going and how it was, but you know, you had to have all the different categories and it was a lot of minutia, but he navigated right through it, and we've already gotten paid for all.
But that city where you built, it was actually to build that in the system to be able to do.
Yeah, we.
It's not like, okay, you just drop down boxes, do that. You all had to build that.
I was in the field, and that's why I applaud Brent, because Brent and John, I was in the field and I was working, and all I was focused on was repairing infrastructure. We had water breaks, and then days followed, we had all the sewer backups come. Mm-hmm. And he was the one that, I think him and Johnny said, we need to get him in the office and start plugging away. So after that, I took initiative to create, it was Brent and I that created the project, and then after that, we put in the vehicles, and then we communicated with supervisors to start utilizing these new things. So we can make it easy, because all we use, CityWorks has everything in, right? We put all that data in. If we're putting in the correct data, we're able to export that data. And I can simply say, I want to see all these things in this work order category list, and then we could query those out to a CSV, and I can just simply put that in the format that FEMA wants, and it made the process much easier.
Well, thank you, and I know we're heading into the spring, and I hope that we as a community don't have to go through that again, but we know that just as we saw this last weekend, strong winds come through, and so thank you. Good work. That's awesome. Way to lead us. Lead us off. Well, we'll move to the next item then. We've got financial reports. Jared, welcome.
All right, this will be our financial report for the month of February. We had billed revenue in the water department of about $1.4 million. Total billed revenue was up from the prior February, 8%. And if you just look at the revenue associated with consumption, it was up 4%, with consumption itself up 1%. On the sewer side, we billed about $1.7 million, with total billed revenue up 16%. Billed revenue associated with consumption up 7%, and consumption itself up 4%. Looking at our budget to actuals, our benchmark 8 months of the way through the fiscal year is 67%. And for the water department, you can see our revenues are trending higher than that at 73%. We might expect that to come back down a little bit towards budget as we kind of start to see some of these lower consumption months start to trickle in here with February and March and April before it starts to pick back up again. But for now, they're trending over. Expenses trending right at budget at 67%, and our capital outlay in the water department 32% of budget. For sewer, revenues are also trending above the benchmark at 69%, expenses below it 65%, and capital outlay to date 25% of budget. Looking at our year-to-date income, we'll look at the detail here on the next page. In the water department, we had net income of $377,000, totals up to $4.45 million for the year. And through that same time period, compared to last year, we're up $283,000, about 6.8% better than this time last year. And on the sewer side, we had net income of $538,000. That doesn't include the one-time ARPA funds. We did have another disbursement in February. You can see that breakout line down there at the bottom. If you total it all up, we're at $6.2 million on the year. Not including those ARPA funds, we're tracking about $254,000 better compared to last year, or up about 5.5%. Back on our memo up here, access and impact fee revenues, we're at $271,200 for February. So at this point, we are 75% of what we brought in last year, and we're in excess of what we budgeted for FY25. Cash reserves looks a little bit different this month. We've decided to give you a little bit more detail here, breaking out unrestricted and restricted cash reserves. You can see that separation there for water and sewer and the totals for each, as well as a comparison to the prior year and a variance. So for example, we see the total unrestricted and restricted cash reserves for water are $28.8 million, and that's up $1.4 million from the prior year. And sewer totals just under $26 million. It's up about $2.5 million from the prior year. Other financial reporting items, we're holding steady with our lost water at 6%. That's a 12-month rolling average. And I thought that before I left this report, I would touch base again on those cash reserves. We always give you this report. It's always in your packet. But I wanted to point it out this time. I did add a couple of lines here, and maybe you can, I know that's a lot of numbers, maybe you can see it on your screen a little better, but we added the lines for minimum reserves and the total above minimums. So these numbers reflect the required minimum reserves that the commission recently adopted. And if you'll remember, we had separate buckets now for unrestricted cash reserves and restricted cash reserves, or the minimums for those. We really only have one restricted minimum reserves. It's in the water department and associated with our meter deposits. So that $1.44 million that you see there, that reflects our liability, the deposits we've collected and will one day owe back to our customers. So this just shows you the cash reserves that we have compared to the required minimums that we've adopted, and then what's left over after that. This little percentage over here relates to the unrestricted piece. So this is telling you in the water department, for example, that the minimum reserves of $10.7 million, they represent about 43% of what we have in the bank in the water department. And for sewer, you can see it's about 40%. And there's some comparisons there to the prior year as well. So I won't always mention that in the report, but I just thought I would bring it to your attention so you can come to this if you're interested in tracking how we're doing relative to our minimums that are responsible. And that'll conclude my financial report for February.
Jared, it's always good work. Thank you for the level of detail. I know this, we can see the reports and there's a lot that goes into it. So thank you for preparing these. And just staying on top of it.
Yeah.
Doing things the way we need to do it. So thank you so much.
Sure.
Okay. Any questions, comments on financials?
No. Thanks, Jared.
Good work. Good work. Okay. The next item, engineering reports.
Good afternoon.
Hey. Love the color.
What's that?
This pie chart that's got all
the colorful. Yes, colorful. You know,
and some pictures and
I always try to spice things up for the commission. I asked David Ingram to go in there and say, can we put together a nice little pie graph that'll look nice for the commission report? He came through with flying colors. So
You can change the colors.
It's just like the answers and those boring for the answers. You only get to see either black or red, you know, and some blues with some GL numbers, but this just jumps right out.
Yeah, this is incredible. This is groundbreaking. Nice work, Rick.
Some colors and some pictures, I'm happy. Okay, thank you so much.
For February, we have a total of 149 plan sets we reviewed. Again, it's always the commercial building plans on top, sign permits. Most of the large-scale developments we're seeing at this point, I believe, are going to be record drawings from construction that were submitted after construction had been completed. And, of course, final plat, site development plans, fire sprinkler systems. And looking at our monthly average, we're kind of hovering right there around 130, 140 plan reviews a month. So staying consistent on that.
What percentage are unique as opposed to re-reviewing?
I would say on average, we probably review each set of plans about 3 times. Okay. So, you know, a sign permit once. We only have an issue if they're going to be in our utility easement. Commercial building plan reviews, those usually sail through the first time. Some of the site development plans and public improvement plans that can be a little bit more complex, we might have a couple or three review cycles on those. But I would say the vast majority of those are one and done reviews.
Good.
For the project status, we've got engineering has a lot of items on the agenda for new business today, and I had to solicit some help from some of my staff to help me present these. But we've got on this. Pre-designed concept column, we've got the sewer model update, which we have a proposal from FNI, Friesen Nichols, sewer smoke testing proposal from Trek, and then Travis has been working with HAF to come up with a design proposal for the Veterans Park and Beacon Circle sewer improvements, which is one of the major sewer bottlenecks out on the east side of town that was identified in our master plan. Also, I've got highlighted the Mount Hebron interconnection and metering station. We have been in meetings with Bentonville about how to handle that design process. We have solicited a proposal from Garver Engineers to do two separate contracts for the same project, and so we're kind of working through the options on that, and we'll bring that proposal to you as soon as we have that nailed down. I'll also be we're also working on the Western Corridor Water Transmission Main. The preliminary plans are pretty much done on that, and so I do expect to have those easement documents in hand within the next couple of weeks, and we've been talking to contract land staff to put together easement acquisition services on that, which also be presenting today. We got some good news on the Highway 12 East water line replacement. This is out there near the Prairie Creek and Beaver Lake area. We got approval of the plans from the Corps of Engineers, which we've been waiting a number of months on. And so now, as soon as RDOT approves the plans, we'll be getting a lot closer to sending that one out to bid. This has been one of those projects where we've got RDOT on one side and Corps of Engineers on the other, and nobody really wants a water line going through their jurisdiction. So that's been a little bit of a challenge. We received a couple of bids. The generators for Lakewood, Biltmore, and Breckenridge, we've still got to flesh out some of the details on those bids, and so hopefully we can bring that to you next month. And Shane will be presenting the bid results for the large meter vault replacement in this meeting. Under construction, we've got the solids handling phase two. I've got a couple of photos here in the slides. The Fifth and Walnut intersection improvements have resumed once we worked out the bus stop situation, and so that utility work will be done in the next couple of weeks, and then they'll start working on the actual pavement rehab. All the sewer manhole CIPP pipe bursting work is ongoing. Poplar Street has been touch and go. It's, you know, one of those downtown projects with, you know, a lot of surprises, a lot of issues, a lot of things coming up. So we also have a change order for that project, as well as the Oak Street improvements, where they're now putting a roundabout at Dodson Road, which has affected our utility design. And lastly, the Bands Addition sewer replacement. We actually had a couple of meetings with the contractor today on this, and that one's one that should have been done, is pretty much done, but we've got some rework with some manholes that didn't have the right inbury elevations and things like that. So we've got a little bit of rework to do before we can call that one, done. Any questions on any of those projects? I just did a lot of talking there. Not a whole lot to show you just yet on the solids handling project. I took these photos a couple of weeks ago while they were still excavating and demoing some of the underground structures on the site here. They're actually now done with that and starting to come back up with compacted backfill where the dryer building is going to be in this area. And this is the doing the concrete formwork and all the rebar work for the sludge mixing box. And this is on the west side of the existing dryer building. So everything's coming along. It's just mostly been underground work up until now, but here in the next month or so, we'll start to see everything being covered up and start to have foundation work for the building. Just a few things on what our GIS team has been working on. We've taken all of our capital improvement projects from our water and sewer master plan and now have that available on the GIS map. So, you know, whenever we're going through here looking at talking to developers about potential projects, you know, looking at site plans, we can see what long-term projects are going to be happening in the future. So that's been really helpful. And then at a smaller scale, what we've started to do was every time we have a proposed project that, this comes in for a pre-construction meeting, we get their files and we put those on our GIS system, and that way anybody that's working in the area knows that we have utilities in the ground that we haven't accepted yet, so these are under construction. So we've had problems before where maybe a contractor's working on putting a water line in the ground and it's not showing up on our maps yet because we haven't accepted it, but it gets hit, they dig through it, and so now that's going to be on the mapping. And we're gonna make a version of this publicly available on our website. And I think we're just gonna remove some of the things like some critical valves where we may not want everybody to know where, all those critical valves are.
Hey, Brian, that was one of the questions I had. So even on the previous slide, the version that I go look at GIS is external. Everything you're talking about would be internal use for RWU, because none of this shows up on when I go look at GIS, or maybe it's not been loaded, or I'm not looking at the right place. But
so you can actually see all the water mains and fire hydrants
that
we have in our system.
Okay.
So right now, we don't have this version available to the public.
Okay.
Now, we will have a link on our website for this to be available, but we need to redact some of these items where, I don't necessarily want somebody to know where the valve is that shuts off water to the whole city of Rogers. So things like that. But we're going to have a version of that city of Rogers map on our website.
Okay.
Because ours is up to date,
internally.
We'll have a link out up there that that the public can view.
Okay.
But it just won't have all these same features.
Okay.
And then we took some of our smoke testing results from our previous smoke testing studies and had those uploaded to the GIS. So this way we can assign work orders against some of those defects. And finally, we've been going through the exercise of matching up the physical meter locations with all of our addresses in Tyler, just to make sure we don't have anybody out there with a service that is not in our database that's somehow getting free water or something like that. And so, but most of what we found so far has been just empty meter boxes that are out there. So. I think that's all I have, unless you have any questions for me.
Any questions, commissioners? Well done. Thank you.
Thank you.
Next item would be Rogers Pollution Control. Once again, reasonable numbers for a reasonable amount of flow.
Still working as we need it to.
You can see our ammonia stayed a little bit higher than what we would like, but it has to do with our solids levels that we can't quite get caught up on right now. As they stay in the system long, they like to release the phosphorus as it comes out. Industrial treatment, running their typical, couple of three inspections a month, a lot of detail in here. I try not to get into that much detail for the meeting, but if you have specific questions, I'd be happy to answer them.
Ozark Mountain Poultry is on here every single month, and it keeps saying that they've gotten a notice of violation, that they're in the process of fixing it. How long does it take?
Well, they are in getting permitting with the city. They can't start until they get all that squared up. So they're not actually in construction. They're trying to get approved for their construction through the city right now. So if, ascending them violations should be helping them get through the city to see some urgency, but I try to stay out of that as much as I can. We just inspect what's there and do that audit so that we're not.
Did they say they submit plans for a package, yes, wastewater plant that we've seen? I'm not sure what the holdup would be with the city, but have seen plans come through.
We've seen plans and we commented on them. We made sure that they were addressing odor control. Was our lone comment, and they responded back on that satisfactorily. So I'm not going to say it'll be odor free, but it should be better than what they have now.
Okay.
But they haven't been able to start yet because they haven't got their permits. But
with what you've seen, do you think it's feasible for it to be to occur in 2025? Because I know that in our last meeting, ADEQ, it was mentioned that, yes, there are issues with getting the permits and kind of moving that process along, but that it would occur in 2025. Again, I don't know anything about the depth of what they've got to do, but do you think
it's feasible. They can hire private contractors, and I'm sure the sooner they can get it done, the sooner they would like it finished. You know, they want to put their money to work back making returns for them. And the longer, they're paying us to do that work, and it's financially advantageous for them to finish it as soon as they can once they get started. But again, Amber's doing a fabulous job. The only issue she's been having, and I don't remember if she said it in here or not, there was one particular, there was one particular restaurant where they had put in some pieces upside down, and she was struggling getting the contractor to admit that he had installed them incorrectly and needed to be repaired. I believe the owner finally
come in and said, contractor, I hired you, it's wrong, fix it. So that was just before I got involved. That was her only struggle, as far as I know, dealing with the general public this month. But it wasn't so much the owner as it was the contractor, and the owner just wasn't sure who to believe at that point. Was arguing about what was upside down and what wasn't. But we are engineering reported we're continuing to work on the solids handling upgrades. We did complete, should have been completed, not competed, polymer vendor bidding. That's a big project for us. Whenever you have something that works, if it was up to me, we'd never bid it again because it works. And it really makes a mess whenever you put something in there that does not work. So that's the reason why we pre-qualify contractors that bid on this, because if they come in and they make, and there's some rules about it too, like they've got to send personnel to help clean up, help monitor, to make sure that they're happy with the way we're performing. If they want to make suggestions, you know, we want to make sure we're as transparent as we can in the process, so we want them there watching what we do so they can make suggestions if they need to. So it's a pretty big deal. We did have two bidders on this round, so that was nice. I did check with NACA on the status of their generator bid. Looks like they should go out mid-April, depending on the progress of their construction. But right now, the construction out at their plant has the generator landlocked, where you can't get equipment in it to move it out. So that's their holdup. And I know I'd asked permission to do a sealed bid, because I wasn't sure when that contractor would clear a way for them to put that out to bid. So I appreciate your patience on that. We did treat 302 million gallons in January. A dry flow day every day would look like about 280. So there's really not a lot of inflow there at 23.6 on rainwater. Average daily flow for the month was 9.8. And that should have said February. I guess I forgot to update the months on this, but either way, it was a good month for us. Not a lot of rain inflow.
Not if you permit, I'll jump in here a second. It looks like you're needing some action on that polymer vending.
I do.
I usually are here for the entire meeting. What I'd like to do, because that actually is going to take a vote. Uh-huh. So can I move that to a new business?
Yes.
I'd like to move it to new business. I'd like to move it to item number 9. Uh-huh. And we can just discuss that.
Yes.
Is that okay?
That's absolutely perfect. I thought that's how I had entered it, and I must have made a mistake.
No, you're fine. You're fine. It was in the packet, but I thought since it does take action, I'd like to move it to new business. And we can move it to the Robert, is that okay to move it to, because it looks like he needs action on that item.
Sure, he does. I think Greg has put a new agenda into Civic Plus that has item number 1.
It's on there, Chairman Carmichael, sorry. This is the new one that's up on the screen.
Oh, okay, I'm sorry.
I was going to change the minutes, I'm in.
When he finishes his report, you move right into that item.
My apologies, I didn't.
I'm working off the old.
I'm sorry.
Are we out of order?
No, we're good.
It came right after it, yeah.
And then this will be the first item
of business, as you're calling it. My apologies. I was working off the original budget, or the original agenda. Okay.
Oh, so this is the only page that come back.
There you go. I've messed this up, and I apologize. I was working off the old agenda, and it didn't. I saw this. It needed action, so I was just going to move it to new business. So
okay.
I messed that. So if you would just go ahead on the polymer vending, we have a recommendation.
Yeah, okay. I had the actual contract on here originally. a little bit thrown off here. We did send this out to bid. I don't want to mess with everybody else's deal. So we have to turn our head sideways. Because I'm not real confident in how we look at this. But we had Carbonet and Polydyne. Polydyne is our existing guys that do this. It's really hard for another vendor to come in and beat them, because there's only two vendors that supply everybody else, and Polydyne is one of them. And so to have somebody else come in that could very well be buying their product from Polydyne it's very difficult for them to compete. But they gave it a pretty good try. They came in at $1.80. Our current contract is $1.55. And we buy, a little over 100,000, probably 120,000 pounds a month of this stuff. So, you know, it'd be $2,500 a month savings going to, they come up with $1.36. Mm-hmm. So it's a pretty good savings for us by bidding this. Typically these contracts are running for a year, renewable up to two. I know Arkansas law would probably let us go to five, if I remember right, like up to 5 years continuous. But this is a fairly volatile product because it has to do with, it's a oil product that gets refined into plastics and things like that. So it's fairly volatile. So if you start getting too long of a period, then they start having to factor in some risk into it, so you don't necessarily get the best deal. So we go with three just to keep it at a good price, keep it stable for us, keep it stable for them, make it worthwhile bidding. And so that's why we do what we do. And again, I mentioned it's a big pain for us to actually do it. But I do feel like it's the right thing. In this case, it saved us some money. This contract come out a little bit like right during or right after COVID, and we started having a lot of supply chain issues. So this one was pretty high, so I was glad we ended that. But we request that you take action and approve our bids and allow us to do the final form and content of the contract for $1.36 a pound with SNF Polydine.
Two questions real quickly. So it's a three-year agreement. Uh-huh. And so $1.36, is that a set for the three-year period, or does it have some sort of collars in there?
It's set for 1 year.
1 year.
Yes. Okay. And typically they have not at the end of the contract said, hey, we got to adjust it. But it could be renegotiated at that year, except for price. I'm not sure that price can be redone. I'd have to review the contract a little closer. Okay. But I think price may be.
Sure, I think the way the IP is written up is that price is set for 3 years.
It's some other things. They could, like, if they didn't like the shipping arrangements or something, I don't know. It gets renewed every year. And so you would assume at a renewal there's some things that can be revisited. But
it's a three-year agreement.
But, yeah.
Okay. All right. So what we have before us, staff recommends allowing the staff to enter into agreement with SNF Polydine for the polymer. Basically, y'all to negotiate and approve the final form of content. So that's what's before us. And with that, I would entertain a motion.
Motion.
We have a motion.
Second.
A motion and a second. Any further discussion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carries to approve SNL Polydine as the polymer vendor for the next 3 years.
Thank you, guys.
Thank you, Todd. All right. So the next item under new business then would be a resolution 25-07 designating audit firm for FY25.
Right. So back in January, we did put out an advertisement for request for qualifications for professional services to include financial auditing. And we got four responses, one from our longtime auditor, Landmark, and three additional ones. We spent some time reviewing those, had some internal conversations among staff, called a reference, sat down with our leading candidate, and have decided to bring to you Forbes Mazars as our proposed firm to work with for our FY25 audit and hopefully subsequent years as well. We were just looking for a local firm. We They've got a Rogers office with staff that are Rogers residents. They've got deep expertise. They have an emphasis on public sector financial auditing. And they came back with a quote that was a little bit more than what we have been paying. They've given us a 5-year quote. That's about $10,000 more for the FY25 audit than we paid for the FY24 audit. That does include about $6,000 for a single audit if it's determined that that would be required if we spend more than $1 million of federal funds in current fiscal year. So we were impressed with what we saw. We liked the recommendation, the referral that we got for them. This resolution authorizes staff to negotiate an engagement agreement with the firm and to budget for it. And as I said, if we have a good working relationship, hopefully this is something that we can continue in subsequent years as well. Any questions about this? I know we've been with our auditor for a while. We just we felt that we wanted a little bit more in terms of value for the money, and we liked what we heard from this firm. And they were very responsive, both when we reached out to them by email with the proposal itself, and then when we called them up to talk about it in more detail. They brought their team. Even somebody from Little Rock came up to meet with us when we sat down with them. And so we'd like to give them a try.
Jared, what are you hoping to get from these folks that you weren't from the previous?
More thoroughness. I mean, you could tell just from their written response. They're very thorough. They're very detailed. I'd like more emphasis on interviews with me and the superintendent and my office manager. I'd like more focus on our internal controls. I see this as a partnership that can help me do my job better. We're a small team. I've got one other accountant on staff besides me. And so I feel like Rogers Water is big enough. We've got enough going on that we'd all be well served by having somebody who's really taking a critical look at what we're doing here and helping us stay on track.
Well put.
And you said you had other references for them as well.
They serve a lot of customers, both in Northwest Arkansas, throughout the state, and probably beyond that as well. They provided 3 references. I called one, a local water utility here in Northwest Arkansas, and spoke with them.
I'll make a motion.
Second.
Sure. Oh. I just want to mention, too, that at this point in the procurement process, the price is not a selection. The consideration of selection right now, they've been ranked highest, so price will go into the negotiations that Jared takes with this firm, but right now, the price was mentioned, but that's not the criteria by which the selection is being made. I just wanted to clear that for the record.
And it's not the resolution, so we're just approving
authorization to negotiate and sign an engagement agreement with Forbis Mazars.
Okay, we have a motion, second. Any further discussion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carries to approve resolution 25-07.
Thank you much.
Okay, the next item we have is a change order, the Oak Street Waterline, 52nd Street to Dodson Road. Aaron, do you?
Good evening. So this is a project that was underway, and the city decided to dust off the plans. They'd already done plans for Dodson Street all the way down to, goodness, what is that? Stony Brook. So they've used those plans. I know it shows a straight line here because that is what is existing, but there will be a roundabout here. And you can see that we're going down quite a ways for this work. The city had already approved this roundabout, so they kind of forgot that we needed to approve the water side of it. So that is why some of the stuff is a little bit backdated. But we've gone through their extensions of existing line items on this bid. I believe there's only one new item that needs to be added. So it was really just extensions of existing. So staff does recommend approving the change order. You can see we had a little bit for owner's allowance already in the bid for water, and there was, I think, just one manhole that needed to be adjusted, so there wasn't much in sewer, so that really didn't contribute to what we're asking for here. What we do need approval for is the $171,654.
Okay, we have before us a recommendation to approve the change order for Oak Street and 52nd, or Oak Street, it's the Dodson to 52nd Street, $171,654.
Motion.
Motion.
Second.
Motion. Jay, Travis is second. Any further discussion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed. Motion carries. What's the timing on that? I know there's, I know right now I see, I go down Dodson quite a bit. It's gotten to be a bit of a challenge.
I'm not sure what they've got on the timeline. I know they're right around this area right now, so hopefully they'll be able to knock out pretty quick.
I think that'll take a lot of pressure, I think, off of Dodson once you can kind of move through there, because oftentimes that'll get backed all the way. I've been down that where it's been backed up to Founders to get through at Stony Brook. Mm-hmm. So this will take a lot of pressure. I think it will take pressure to get you back at least 50 seconds. So.
Yes, sir. I think there's only one section left of Oak Street, so you can go Rainbow to Spurs. Thank you.
Okay. Aaron, thank you so much. Okay. The next item we have engineering services contract for Veterans Park and Deacon Circle Sewer Improvement.
Good evening, board members. All right, we're going to go over Veterans Park sewer improvements. This area is plagued with a couple problems, one being it's under capacity. Mm-hmm. And the other is it's got surcharging issues. So we're going to be upgrading this 10 inch to a 24 inch and this 12 inch to a 21. And we got a diversion box over here. I wasn't able to fit it in here, but we got an arrow pointing to it. That's got some INI issues to it that we'll be addressing in this project as well. So we'll be addressing them again with surcharging and capacity. And then on the east side, it'll bear with me here.
I think there were several.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. All right, there we go. Mm-hmm. On the east side, so this connects to the same portion that we just discussed. Capacity issues. This section right here is 10-inch VCP, verified clay pipe, which you guys can imagine doesn't make the best sewer pipe. It isn't under capacity, but it is high criticality, so it does need to be replaced. The CCTV footage is revealed. It's got several areas of INI, and it was part of the high risk criticality. And I added this diagram here to represent the high criticality. You guys have any questions on that? So we'll be replacing that portion in place. And then we'll move down to Beacon Circle. Now this is going to address some capacity issues as well as surcharging issues in the area. And the idea here is we'll be able to abandon this portion of sewer line. As you can see underneath this fence and all of these cars. And obviously we got this drainage ditch. So this will kind of clean up this area and make it easier to access for our maintenance crews. So ease of maintenance and addressing those issues.
I'm trying to place where Beacon is. Is that, what is that building there?
So you got 8th Street, Beacon Circle. This is an older...
I'm with you.
Yeah, New Hope is just to the north. Yes, sir.
Very good.
Yes, sir. Anything else on that section? So in the process, find a design consultant. We formed a committee, three RDB staff members. This was a scoring criteria based on the committee's review. We picked three firms that were shortlisted, and ultimately half was selected. Okay, staff requests authorization to enter into an agreement with HAF Engineers for the design of sewer improvements at Veterans Park and Beacon Circle at an hourly rate with the total cost of the engagement not to exceed $435,000, $500. Staff further requests authorization to negotiate the final form and content of the agreement.
Thank you. We also have the engineering firm is represented here as well.
Yep.
Thank y'all for being here.
Thank you.
Okay, we have.
I'll make a motion.
We have a motion. Kathy, motion to approve.
Second.
Janae, second. Any further discussion? All in favor of the motion to approve Progressive Services Agreement with HAF Engineers for the design and sewer improvements, Veterans Park and Beacon Circle, in an amount not to exceed, an hourly rate amount not to exceed $435,500. Also for the staff to negotiate the final form and content of that agreement.
Mr. Chairman.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, we've been playing with the language up there. The hourly rate, it's not an hourly rate, but the total engagement is not to exceed $435,500.
I had rewritten that because it kind of gave me, when I first read it, the hourly rate seemed a little high to me.
We can't afford you guys.
I actually had rewritten that a couple times going, okay, and it's a contract for services. All that is Exhibit C. And there were three exhibits to that agreement. Exhibit C had the hourly rates, and it kind of outlined that. So.
Yeah, the problem is, it's half didn't say a thing.
Robert, thank you for pointing that out. And it is. It's a contract for services. They were all outlined in Exhibit C for an amount not to exceed $435,500.
Yes. So, yes, sir.
Thank you. Any further discussion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Thank you, Board.
Travis, thank you. Well done.
And I will say that at Veterans Park, that is, it's needed. When it flooded the last time, it was a mess.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Good work. Thank you so much. Okay. Okay. So the next item is bid results. It's the large meter vault rehabilitation project.
I was waiting to see if you're going to try to say my name.
I was going to. Well, you just introduce yourself. It's good to see you. I love seeing all the new people, so thank you.
I'm Shane Bailey. I'm a design tech in the engineering department. So I do a lot of our in-house projects, if we have any. And, today I'm presenting on... Let's get down here. Holy moly. We'll get there.
We're close.
Oh, there we are. Wow, way too big.
Oh.
All right, about a year and a half ago, engineering approached the inspection staff to determine, out of all the large meter vaults, and when I say large meter vaults, I mean meters 2 inches, greater than 2 inches in diameter. They asked us to visit all the large meter vaults in our service boundaries, and we identified approximately 10 of them which needed rehabilitation work. In the top right there, you can see the Montanay PRV, which, while technically not a meter vault, is still a vault. It's similar to meters, so we lumped it in there. As you can see, it's kind of crumbling there, and I think there's a little bit of a talks about whether the PRV actually is fully functional or not. below that, we have stone container, which is the vault itself is in slightly better condition, but what we have going on there is we have a meter inside the vault along with fire line controls, which is something that we don't necessarily want. scrolling through here, you can see our estimates along with the bids for each one of these project locations. I do believe that should be in your guys' packet if you ever want to dive deeper into that. What we came up with is the engineer's estimate being $388,000, $388,100, with the low bid of S&K at $352,811. The staff would like to recommend the award of the bid to S&K Dirt Works in the amount of $352,811.
We have a motion to approve.
Second.
Any discussion? All in favor of the motion, say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Thank you.
Motion.
Good work. Thanks, Shane.
Next item is professional services contract for water transmission main easement acquisitions. Brian?
Yes. As the commission's aware, we're in the design for the western water transmission main to connect to the pump station that's currently under construction by Beaver Water District. This water line is about 3.7 miles long, and it passes through 36 tracts of property, and each one of those tracts is going to require a 50-foot wide utility easement for the water line, as well as a temporary construction easement of another 25 feet. And so quite a bit of negotiations, probably quite a bit of talks with property owners. So as part of our professional services RFQ that we sent out in last December and received SOQs in January, we received SOQs from three firms who do this type of work, specialize in right-of-way and easement acquisitions. We reviewed all those qualifications and ultimately selected Contract Landstaff. They do have a national firm that has a lot of horsepower to take on these big projects, and they also have a local representative that lives in Bella Vista. Had a talk with her. She's very, very knowledgeable, and so we're going to be confident in our selection with Contract Landstaff. And so they will be taking those easement documents that we're going to get from Garver and negotiating those agreements with the property owners, and they'll have a third party appraiser that'll get appraisals on all these properties. And so it is staff's recommendation staff requests the authorization to enter into an agreement with Contract Landstaff for easement acquisition services for the Western Corridor Water Transmission Line at an hourly rate with the total engagement not to exceed $252,685. And we further request authorization to negotiate the final form and contract.
Thank you for that clarification. Thank you. Commission members, you've heard the recommendation.
Motion.
We have a motion.
Second.
Jane, Kathy, motion second. Any further discussion? All in favor say
aye.
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 Opposed. Motion carries to approve. Contract Landstaff. The next item is engineering services contract sewer smoke testing.
Oh my goodness. Let me get
a small
right zoom level. There we go. Okay. So we performed some smoke testing in a couple of years ago with Trek Design Group. We're proposing to use the same group for this work. We did review our qualifications. There were a couple of firms capable of doing this work. Trek's really the only one that has local staff available. They have several technicians that live right here at Rogers, and they've done a good job in the past. And so we feel like they're going to do good work for us here. So we sent them the smoke testing map. This is to solicit a proposal. Some of our previous smoke testing efforts kind of focused on the east side of town, and we're going to kind of fill in some gaps there on the east with this area, and we should have just about everything on the east side of the of 8th Street for the most part taken care of and defects identified. Some of these other areas that were identified for smoke testing, you saw in Mr. Ingram's presentation at the beginning, the trees that was uprooted. These are some areas that we identified that sewer was relatively shallow, and there's the potential for some of those sewer services and mains to sustain damage during the tornado, during all the uprooting of the trees. And so we had some concerns in there, and so we thought it'd be worthwhile to smoke test some of these areas. So that's the smoke testing map. I apologize. I'm going to give it some time here. So staff requests authorization to enter into an agreement with Trek Design Group, LLC, for sewer smoke testing services at an hourly rate with the total engagement not to exceed $69,876.50. And we further request authorization to negotiate the final form and content of the agreement.
Motion. Second.
Kathy, any further discussion? Travis, any comments?
Nope, I like it.
All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries to approve Trek.
Thank you.
Okay, change order for West Poplar Street improvements.
Yes, and I touched on this in my engineering report from last month. When Poplar Street bid out, we did have an allowance in there. We have spent that allowance on the water side, mainly because we ended up boring under 8th Street when we had planned the open cut, and that was an RDOT requirement. We had some overage on the quantity of a full depth backfill on that job as well, because we had to full depth for the temporary asphalt, even though that's ultimately going to be green space. So long story short, we have eaten through our allowance on this project, and due to some of the recently identified changes to abandon some of this AC water line going through this alley, redoing some of the services over here by in this alley near Levi's, and relocate two services for the museum and do a cut and cap. We received a summary of items from Crossland Heavy Contractors totaling, let's see, is that, I'm gonna have to get my paper, hang on. There we go. $116,814. Staff is requesting approving this change order for Poplar Street in that amount.
Motion.
Second.
Any further discussion on the change order? $116,814 to Poplar Street. All in favor say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carries to approve the change order.
Hey, Brian, you feel like these unit prices are in line with market, or you getting the change order pricing?
We reviewed some of those. We took issues with a few of those unit prices, and especially when we compared them to the original bid.
Yeah.
We looked at some of the service prices, and so we questioned the contractor about that, because some of the services were $3,000 more than the original. So they had done some exploratory digging on some of these. One of them had an old retaining wall that was buried, where they had to core through the retaining wall and also core through a steel plate and, you know, things like that. So they're finding things underground that is going to slow them down quite a bit, other than just, you know, digging a trench across the road. Another service was 8 feet deep on a water line that we had already backfilled. And so I think if we'd have put these in the bid initially and identified this work up front, you know, the unit bid prices would have been more appropriate.
Very good. Thank you.
Okay. Let's see. Last time we got engineering services contract, sewer model.
Thank you. And I did also mention this on last month's engineering report. We have asked Fries and Nichols to put together a proposal to refresh that sewer model. It's been a couple of years since we finalized our master plan, but during that time, the city has issued an updated unified development code, which has the potential to significantly change the density of development that's going in. And so we're not really going to reinvent the wheel, but we are going to have some extended conversations with city planning, and then take another look at our model and possibly reassign some of those flows and see what that does to our capital improvement projects. Now's the time to know if we need to make some changes before we get some under construction with some of these big projects. And so Fries and Nichols gave us an hourly proposal not to exceed, with a total engagement not to exceed $80,000. So we feel like this is appropriate. We request approval of this proposal and also allowing staff to negotiate the final form and content of the agreement.
Motion. Second.
You have Janae and Travis. Any further discussion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion approved. Yeah, so it's so appropriate. You know, we went through the whole rewriting of Chapter 14 and the development codes. I know there's ongoing changes to the flume, and right. So it just makes sense that they've got to have water and sewer, and when you start increasing those densities, it's got to have impact. So timely, well done. So.
Thank you.
Okay, thank you. Well, that, even if working off the old agenda that I was working off of, I think I got everything. I apologize for that. But I think that concludes. Anything else, Brent? Anything else to come before the commission?
I'd like to, the new people that presented, that's, you know, we take that for granted. That's not easy. So
Travis, y'all did great. Thank you so much.
Yes, you did great. Thank you
so much. Johnny, did you have anything you need to add? Well, we appreciate the work, and again, as I said earlier, you know, it's great to see RW recognized at the chamber to get up there, and again, an awful lot of work that happened quick. So we appreciate the work that you all do. And with that, we're adjourned.
I would like to also say that yes, you guys did a fantastic job in the tornado, but when we had the freeze and you guys were out for days in that weather, Johnny and his team did a fabulous job at that time too. We have a great water department. Well, if I do say so myself.
You could say it all day. Yeah. I think it would be echoed probably from all of us up here.
Could I make a quick comment?
Absolutely.
With all that's in the news, I also want to thank leadership for putting money into projects before it becomes hits the news and becomes urgent. So thank you.
That's a great segue. Thank you for your support. We can't do that without the support.
I still went back, and I know we've adjourned, but you know, I go back and you think about the challenges when you've got trees that uproot and water lines and things that happen. But yeah, I went back and looked at, you know, the lost water. In my mind, I'm thinking you've got the main, it's just our water line is broken and it's just water's going somewhere, and it's either, you know, before it gets to the meter. And you look at those numbers, they didn't really vary. So, you know, we got on it quick. Again, thank you. We're adjourned.
Thank you.